and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer, Chris LaVoy, voice deity, Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Well, that's the first thing that caught my attention. Chris Christie says he's still in the dark over his role at the upcoming Republican National Convention. I understand he's going to be the water slide. It's something big for the kids to slide.
No, he's going to be the bounce house.
All right. He's going to be the ball jump.
No, it's in the dark. Is everything in his shadow?
Everything in his shadow. That went through my mind, but I decided not to say it because it's a fat joke.
Okay. Let's get out of business first of all. Sexy liberal. New York City just announced October 27th, our biggest on sale day ever. Annie, I bought my New York City tickets. Steph, I'm coming from St. Paul to see the show.
What?
This is Sexy Liberal Palooza.
Oh, dear.
This is the pre-election extravaganza with all four sexy liberals, Aisha Tyler, John Fugelsang, Hal Sparks, and me, and celebrity panelists to be named later. Check this out. Annie, a Steph head. This will be a Sexy Liberal show number 10 for me.
Oh, my God.
Yikes.
Oh, my God. Wow. Can I make a suggestion? Your faithful beloved, we think it's actually been discussed on Twitter over the weekend. You should have your nervous poodle Roland, high-strung, sexy liberal tour director, be the one that opens the show and intros John. We all adore him, and we love that he blushes when any of us repeat customers ask for his autograph at the meet and greets.
Yeah.
Can't wait to be in NYC in October. It'll be my first time there, Annie.
Wow.
Show number 11.
I understand it's a city that never sleeps.
Yes, that's what I'm told. Yeah, we were on the corner. We were on a street
corner
in Seattle once. I'm standing next to Roland, and somebody groups turns around and goes, "Oh my God, you're Roland, sexy liberal tour director." I was like, "I'm
hello,
what am I, chopped liver?"
All right.
And now coming to the stage, chopped liver.
Yeah, that's me. It's gonna be my stage name. By the way, I have a breaking news.
What?
So remember last week, the gayest thing Roland had ever said is, "You don't choose Broadway. Broadway chooses you."
Yes. Wow.
He just said a gayer thing yesterday.
What did he say?
I'm having a bad...
life?
Yes.
Okay.
And so we were comparing, and he actually said, okay, I wrote this down so I get it right. He said, please, I was up all night drinking a bottle of Sauvignon Blanc, watching Steel Magnolias and sobbing.
Wow.
Okay, that's the gayest thing.
That
is the gayest thing any man has ever said.
That might be.
That is a cry for help.
Yeah, it is.
Maybe if it were Pinot Grigio, it'd be slightly gayer.
Right. No, I think Sauvignon Blanc is gayer.
No, a wine spritzer.
You know
a wine spritzer would
be gayer.
You know
how you can help people? You know how you can help that cry for help? You could buy sexy liberal tickets, calm him down a little bit. I think Columbus is sold out, but you can try. There might be a few little floaty tickets August 18th. The big birthday show, September 29th in Seattle, almost sold out. And what can I tell you? October 27th in the NYC is going fast. So hurry, beat it. Please help, Roland, please. If he says anything gayer today, my head's going to explode. Wow.
Well, right. Anything with the word girlfriend in it.
That might make it a little gayer.
He might be able to open that chicken place.
Chick-fil-hay. Gay chickens.
Hey, girl. All right. By the way, I love the things you focus on. You were talking about the lunatic in the latest shooting, and you said, that's not a bench press, or whatever the hell you said, a leg press.
No.
Who are you talking
about? Pat Robertson.
Oh, Pat Robertson. Okay, he's in, because there's always a prize in any tragedy for somebody that says the stupidest thing.
Yeah.
Pat Robertson will not surprise you that he said the stupidest thing.
Yeah.
Although Charlie Pierce, who we have on today, he also notated some other people that said ridiculously stupid things in the wake of this latest tragedy. So we will get to Charlie Pierce. And Michael Schur of the Young Turks.
That's right.
The Medium Turk. I being the Elderly Turk.
That's right. Cenk being the Young Turk.
The Young Turk.
And, well, he's the actual Turk.
He's the Peter Brady of the Turks.
Yeah.
He's the in-between Turk.
Well, he's also the actual Turk. He's of Turkish descent.
Right.
Yes. You're not of Turkish descent.
No. I'm just old.
You're the old Pole.
So, when it's freezing outside, we shouldn't stick our tongue to you.
No, put your tongue on me when it's cold out. You people learned the hard way in Buffalo when I was growing up.
Woo!
Wow! All right. Lots to talk about with this, you know, obviously as more and more details come out. Cliff in Miami writes, Steph, I'm a white male, so I guess I'm allowed to ask this question. Why are the majority of mass shooters in this country white males? What's going on in the white American male culture that makes this behavior so prevalent? Could it be anger and fear over the fact we're becoming a minority? I think it's time to start discussing the reason for this vicious violence that's exploding in the white male psyche. Cliff in Miami. Yeah, and by the way, I was reading, you know, people are saying, oh, well, you know, it wasn't an assault weapon. It is still the same issue with these high-capacity magazines.
Yep.
It's the same weapon that the last several shooters and all the, you know, which ones I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm clearly not a gun person.
Right.
But that's, to me, still the issue is these high-capacity magazines and, you know.
I don't see any reason for them.
Yeah, and that's what I was reading. An expert was talking about yesterday. There just is no reason for civilians to have this. We need to, and I thought, oh my God, you can't even say something like that. Like, we need to ratchet down our firepower.
Yeah.
I mean, and clearly mental health is another issue. Clearly hate groups, but I mean, Albert with some interesting thoughts. Steph, once again in this country, we're faced with a horrific spectacle of violence and mass murder. Once again, there will be arguments about guns, gun laws, and our lack of adequate care for the mentally ill. These are discussions we need to have, but by all indications, this incident is not about mental illness. It's about hate. Hate is not a mental illness. While a case can be made for hate being inherited from parents, mentors, and the associations made at an impressionable young age, continuing to engage in it is a conscious decision that we all either accept or reject. Because there's a debate obviously going on now, too, about whether right now they're classifying it as domestic terrorism, right?
Mm-hmm.
The
yep.
FBI. But is it a hate? That's what people are asking already. Is it a hate crime or is it terrorism?
I think it's both.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, well, it's a hate crime and a highly unfocused hate crime.
And a stupid hate crime.
Yeah.
Like most racists is stupid.
Moron.
Because he thought they were Muslim when they're Sikh, which is completely different.
Yeah, and that's not, unfortunately, that hasn't been rare. The, you know, Sikhs have obviously been a target ever since 9/11.
Right after 9/11, when I was in Arizona, a Sikh was gunned down in Mesa, Arizona, because they thought he was Muslim.
Yeah. He killed six people, seven, including himself.
Yeah.
Army veteran.
Those murder-suicide things, you should start with the suicide part. I think that's...
Please?
Yeah.
Yeah. Just be considerate.
Step one.
He might be dumb. He might have been dumb enough to fall for that. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Mm. U.S. Army veteran. He did have the 9/11 tattoo. Monitor of extremists said he had links to hate groups. What's his name? Wade? Wade Michael Page.
Yeah.
Authorities say they're treating the attack as an act of domestic terrorism. And that's the other debate, that, you know, the right wing doesn't like to call anything terrorism unless it's, Islamic, right?
Mm-hmm.
And look at all of these cases.
Yeah.
They're.
It was interesting. On The Five yesterday, Bob Beckel said, yes, it was a right wing, you know, hate guy. And the rest of them just came down on, do not use the word right wing when talking about this guy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he is.
He is right wing. Yeah. He's about as far right. He's a right wing extremist.
How dare you point out the obvious?
Yeah, exactly.
Wait to hear what Greg Gutfeld says about that, by the way. Right wing world.
We'll dive into that next. U.S. military sources say he was discharged for patterns of misconduct, had been cited for being drunk on duty. He'd been a member of a racist skinhead band and Apathy.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, there's some musical stylings. Did you hear any of that?
Oh, it was awful.
He also tried to buy goods from the National Alliance, a neo-Nazi group, in 2000. And here we go with the issue again. He legally owned this gun, of course.
Yep.
So this guy could get a gun.
Yep.
Just saying. Worth a discussion?
Yeah.
No?
I saw an interview with the owner of the gun shop where he bought the gun, and he's like, yeah, I followed all the laws.
Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
He legally got it.
Yeah. It was a 9mm semi-automatic, which is what's been used in a lot of these things. And at first people were like, oh, it's a handgun, so that's not an assault weapon. It is if it fits this high-capacity magazine.
Right. Well, some assault rifles have a really high muzzle velocity, and bullets can actually penetrate walls.
Yeah.
So that's a little different from a pistol. But, again, it's the high-capacity magazines and the fact that he's shooting at people.
Yeah, Wisconsin, really. Thank you, Governor Walker, has some of the most permissive gun laws in the country. He's the one that signed the concealed carry law. It passed a law in 2011, allowing citizens to call it. And that's why they're saying a lot of these guys, the last two or three, have chosen that because it's easily concealed.
Right.
You know, that's the kind of gun you can get in some way. And again, the high capacity magazine, it is for one thing. It's for killing the most amount of people possible.
You don't in the shortest amount of time.
A deer with that kind of weapon.
Because you don't have much of a deer left if you shoot.
No.
Although this guy who called last week, I guess it was, and he's talking about culling the herd because they had wasting disease, which is mad cow disease, essentially, for deer.
Mm-hmm.
So he wasn't shooting for the meat. He was just, you know, no. taking out the sick animals.
Yeah, but how often does that does that
I think
happen?
There are other ways of...
Yeah. Yeah, he was, so, you know, there's all these terms. I mean, obviously the Southern Poverty Law Center has defined these. He was a white supremacist and a skinhead. I don't know what the difference is.
They're kind of one and the same.
And by the way, the hate groups have been on the rise in the U.S., rising steadily since 2000. And again, remember when, you know, the Justice Department has come out with these studies and the right wing's like, oh, no, it's not, you know, mm-hmm. and this is exactly what's happening. It's exactly what they screamed about in these reports. As is in this particular story, they're talking about the hate crimes against Sikhs originated out of misdirected Islamophobia. They obviously, just because of the beard and turban. I mean, what is this? Is the whole world like an airplane movie? It's not, you know.
Yeah.
Sikh groups have seen huge spikes in hate crimes since September 11th. And so it's... not just racism, but really stupid racism. Mm-hmm. And anyway, so the issue is, was the shooting domestic terrorism, a hate crime, or both? And so let's talk about that when we get back. 17 minutes after the hour, a really vomitous right-wing world.
Dear God.
Promise you that, including Pat Robertson, as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
That laughter sounds like the result of misbehavior.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 22 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number toll free from anywhere, the president yesterday.
Yeah, we're still awaiting the outcome of a full investigation. Yesterday I had a chance to speak to both the governor and the mayor, as well as leaders of the Sikh community in Oak Creek. All of us are heartbroken by what's happened, and I offered the thoughts and prayers not only of myself and Michelle, but also of the country as a whole.
So the FBI, as I mentioned, treating it as a act of possible domestic terrorism. It's interesting because, you know, I was just saying people are going, is it a hate crime or domestic terrorism? Mm-hmm. Domestic terrorism defined by the Patriot Act as a dangerous action that's intended to intimidate or coerce a civilian population, influence government policy by intimidation or affect government's actions by mass destruction, assassination, or kidnapping. So it certainly seems like it falls.
It does.
Yeah.
It falls under that.
Yeah. And that's what they're saying. For instance, the fact that he has obviously been and Jim, you and I were just saying how this guy's been tracked for years by how is he passing background?
Civil
check?
Rights group has been following him for years, and
The FBI tracked him too, but they didn't see enough there to open an actual file on him.
Yeah. Well, they're saying that's what sets it apart from, for instance, the Aurora shooting, because they don't know what the cause was there. But this is his alleged crime could be have been designed to send a message that the government should exclude non-white people from America or any other number of anti-minority messages. That's the debate, terrorism or hate crime. In the gee, Jim, you were saying, rise in hate crime since the president's
since Obama,
been elected.
Huh.
What could the connection be, I wonder?
Yeah.
In the 10 years following 2001, only 6% of terrorist acts in America have been the work of Islamic extremists.
Mm-hmm.
Even so, some scholars say the common perception that most homegrown terrorists in America are Muslims, adhering to a violent brand of Islamic extremism. How often do we hear that in the right-wing world? People are less likely to understand that violent white supremacism can also be terrorism, d'ya think? I think the white supremacist attack should qualify as terrorism just as much as an individual who's Muslim who abuses that faith to say, I want to kill people to further my political agenda, said one law professor. He said white supremacy is also a political message. He says since September 11th, the government has shifted to focusing law enforcement resources on Islamic extremism, possibly to the detriment of preventing white supremacist attacks and other dangerous extremists.
Yep.
And that's exactly what we're talking about. When the Justice Department came out with this, you know, report, the right wing screamed foul and
exactly.
And this is real. They don't make up reports out of nowhere.
This is real right wing extremism.
In right wing world, that's the only kind of terrorists are Islamic. And there's the number right there. 6% is the amount of terrorists. terrorism that's been committed by Islamic extremists.
Right.
So the president yesterday.
I think all of us recognize that these kinds of terrible, tragic events are happening with too much regularity for us not to do some soul searching and to examine additional ways that we can reduce violence. And as I've already said, I think there are a lot of elements involved in it. And what I want to do is to bring together law enforcement, community leaders, faith leaders, elected officials at every level to see how we can make continued progress.
I'm going to guess right-wing world, soul-searching, French and gay.
Yeah.
Pretty much any kind of discussion, thought, any sort of solution.
Forget about even discussing the Second Amendment if there are any amendments to the amendment that that need to be.
That's what scares Scott in Oklahoma. Hi, Scott. Welcome.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
I get kind of concerned when they start talking about limiting the clips in. I use an SKS for hunting, and I do have a couple of 30-round clips. Never even put them on the gun. But didn't Benjamin Franklin say that as soon as the threat of revolt or revolt is the only way to keep the government in line? Otherwise, we're just cattle.
Okay. So
if you have a 30-round clip and you've never used it, why do you?
I was just going to ask that.
Yeah. Why do you have it?
Is that for like a knickknack, a table decoration? Why do you have it if you don't use it?
Because I'm a disabled vet, and it's just something I picked up at a gun show. I saw it and said, hey, this would fit my gun, and I bought it for $10.
But you don't intend on using it?
No.
Huh. I can't wrap
Scott,
my brain around that,
right.
Why you would have it if you're not going to...
Does it not concern you the number of mentally ill people that have access to these that are obviously using them to kill as many people as possible?
Yeah, but Timothy McVeigh didn't shoot anybody.
Right, but that's why they regulate the sale of fertilizer now, after the Oklahoma City
bombing. Right. But
so why wouldn't you regulate the sale of these massive clips?
30-round clip is a useless thing. It is, unless you're in war.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So we're taking away your right to have a paperweight? Like, I don't understand why you're concerned about it.
Because as soon as they limit me to a 5-round clip, then there's no chance of rebelling against the government. I'm already taxed
representation. You're going to be able to hold the government off with your
30-round
clip.
No, definitely. I wouldn't be able to.
Okay, so...
The army is part of the government.
Right.
So you'd be fighting the army.
The army.
Which has nukes.
Right. So it's kind of useless to even have the dang thing.
That's our point.
It was that. But the whole thing is we can't have a revolution or we can't revolt against the government when they mess us over if we don't have the means to.
Sir, are you somebody that thinks, say, if the Jews had handguns, they would have been able to hold off the Nazis and their tanks? Or I don't get this.
No, that doesn't work. They sent Liberty pistols, 45 pistols, to France, and they really didn't work. One round, and the end of the
breaking
your hand.
Right, see,
that's the point.
Okay. All right, Scott, thank you for your service.
I don't think he thought that out very well. Bless his heart.
I mean, are people out there seriously considering revolting against the government? I mean, you want to
take
a fight
tanks,
with the army?
They have cannons.
The
they have
yes.
nukes.
And the Air Force.
They have
good luck with your 30-round clip, Navy. However.
Yeah, good luck in your revolution.
Or you could vote.
Right!
I have a headache a little early this morning.
Oh.
Okay. Should we do Right Wing World on top of it? Why not?
Why not?
Double down.
Yeah.
29 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Come on, let's face it. Your entire job could be done by a bulletin board.
What? This is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12. The phone number toll free from anywhere. Chris in Oakland, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Chris.
Hi. I'm
this Scott Oakland guy is really frustrating, and I hope you guys will let me go through three quick points. Number one, if we need a 30-round clip, even though we're never going to use it, why am I not allowed to possess a Laws rocket launcher,
right,
or, you know, anthrax? Why are they taking those things away from me? I mean, where
right.
does it end, right?
A nuke. Why can't I have a nuke?
Right. I mean, they're not going to use it. I just might need it, and for them to take it away from me or not let me have it, it's infringing on my rights. The second thing is, you know, I hear all these people that call up. They're so worried about the government, you know, having to stand up against the government. All these people that they think they need these guns to defend themselves from the government, I don't hear very many of them very concerned about voter suppression, you know, about their rights being taken away at the polls, which is where the tool we're supposed to use
right.
to form and guide our government.
Right. There you
the
go.
The last point is, and I say this with some trepidation because I don't want to come off the wrong side of this. I happen to be a gun owner myself, but I will say this right now. I would personally throw every weapon I own into either a shredder or a furnace or whatever vehicle destruction you want myself before I would give one cendime to the NRA. You guys have a great day.
Yep. All right, honey. Thank you. I wouldn't put it in a shredder. I think that could backfire. Okay.
Oh, well.
I'm just saying it's metal.
A little bit.
Okay. All right.
I think the shredder would get shredded, actually.
Listen, I know the time that I wrapped a potato in tinfoil and put it in the microwave. You remember that?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, someone ran in here. Why is the kitchen on fire?
I forgot. That's the regular oven, not in the
what?
What? Okay, let's dive into the right-wing world and see what's doing, shall we, kids? Oh, heavens. It's fake. Crank outrage machine over Harry Reid again. Here he is, Charles Krauthammer.
This isn't a silly season. This is disgrace season. The hypocrisy of Democrats on this. You remember, it's Democrats and liberals in the media who take endless pride in having opposed McCarthyism. The essence of McCarthyism is to use a high place, high office, to make innuendo, unsubstantiated charges, and then destroy other people by means of doing that. This is a blind accusation from Harry Reid where he says, I have in my head the word from one person who remained unnamed that Mitt Romney didn't pay his taxes, and then he says, and he didn't pay his taxes.
And the way to disprove that? Would be
the apoplexy on the right is making this even more fun.
Hysterical.
Just unbelievable. I mean, I think Eugene Robinson said the same thing we said yesterday. To me, this proves there's something in there that
obviously
is so incredibly damaging. He can ruin Harry Reid's credibility and career in a second. All
that's
he has to do is release him.
That's right.
There you go.
Yet he hasn't.
Yes.
You know what? And just by virtue of the fact that he's Harry Reid, I trust him more than I trust Mitt Romney.
Nancy Pelosi. Yeah, you know what? We're trendsetters. I've always said I'm a good 5 to 10 minutes ahead of my time. Liberals have Dirty Harry's back on the tax issue.
Awesome.
See, I was the one leading the charge. Don't weenie out, everybody.
It's not weenieing out.
No.
To say that this sounds like it could be
it
a
could
Rovian
be a Karl
trick.
Rove, because Karl Rove has pulled something
and
like this before.
Yes. That's not slamming
I can
Harry
care
Reid.
Even less than Harry Reid cares.
I care, because
Nancy
I care
Pelosi.
About Harry Reid.
Nancy Pelosi. Fellow fighter. She fired back.
I understand what we're saying.
I do understand what you're saying. I'm saying they've played these games forever, and I think that this is too important an issue to let it go, and that's what Harry Reid's trying to do. Nancy Pelosi's fired back about Republicans accusing Harry Reid of lying, blah, blah, blah. She said Harry Reid made a statement that is true. Somebody told him. It is a fact. Yeah. Whether he did or not can be easily disposed of, Mitt Romney can release his tax returns and show whether he paid taxes. She said the salience of what Harry Reid is saying is related to the contents of Romney's tax plan. That's the other thing. It is relevant. Here's a guy who wants you to pay more when I think I, meaning Harry Reid, somebody told me that he hasn't even paid his taxes, but he wants you to pay more to underwrite tax cuts for the wealthy. It's like a double doozy.
Mm-hmm.
She talked about the American people will decide. They'll make a judgment. I think it's a loser issue for him, and I agree. Just saying.
That's salient.
Oh, is there an interesting story in the L.A. Times? Shut up.
What?
Is there an interesting story in the L.A. Times?
It's my favorite movie, When Harry Met Salient.
I hate both of you so much. That's the salient point.
Exactly. You got it right that time. Good girl.
All right, I will address the LA Times story. This is just one example. It's like a sliver about them trying to get out of paying their property taxes in San Diego. It's fascinating. We'll talk about that in a moment.
Wow.
All right, Dana Loesch from The Dana Show.
Oh.
The Mitt Romney with the Chick-fil-A story and the Michelle Bachmann with the Muslim Brotherhood. Why on earth? That's a home run. Why wouldn't you hit that?
Most voters want their president to take a position, but he's not on these two. Apparently, two hot button topics, and he is staying out of it.
Yes. You better get on that like white on rice mittens. I would hire Dana Loesch as your campaign manager. I'd be at a Chick-fil-A tomorrow, like with chewing it like a rawhide, like get all over that Muslim Brotherhood thing. Maybe Michelle Bachmann running mate.
Great plan. No, she's not even speaking at the convention.
she's not. I think Romney should hire Dana Loesch. She certainly has proven herself to be not hot-headed.
Exactly. That's what he needs, someone a little more even-keeled at the helm than Mr. Etch-a-Sketch or Mr. Kiss My Ass and Shove It. They need someone like a steady, like a Dana.
Dana Loesch. No, she doesn't get easily rattled at all.
As you can attest from your many Twitter fights with her.
Oh, she's blocked me now.
Doink. Okay. Liz Trotta, Fox News.
With their inborn sense of class warfare, as well as their funny clothes, the ladies of the press really believe they're acting on principle. Except that the principle is driven by envy. Envy of a woman who managed to do exactly what their mothers told them,
Romney.
Although they would never admit it.
Oh.
Marry a good, preferably rich man, raise your children full-time, and dress like a lady.
Wow!
Come on, girls. Play fair.
Wow. Yes, female journalists are jealous of Ann Romney because Ann Romney did what their mothers told them to do.
Yikes, I am a failure on every single level. Wow. I don't need to dress like a lady.
Nope. Marry a rich dude.
Nope.
Marry any dude.
Have kids. Nope. Wow. I could be somewhere below a failure. That's where I am in Liz Trotta's mind.
That's right.
Okay.
You're a man, baby.
Trotta living in the 50s?
Wow.
Good God.
I think we should get in your Nash Rambler and tell President...
You heard her. All
President
All you Olympic athletes, get out of those clothes. Dress like a lady. And find a man and make a baby, for God's sake.
Speaking of Olympics clothes, did you see...
Oh, we'll get to that.
Okay.
All right. Really?
Yep.
Uncle Chuckles.
Pat Robertson on the tragedy in Wisconsin.
What is it? Is it satanic? Is it some spiritual thing that people who are atheists, they hate God, they hate the expression of God? And they are angry with the world, angry with themselves, angry with society, and they take it out on innocent people who are worshiping God.
Mm.
And whether it's a Sikh temple or a Baptist church or a Catholic church or a Muslim mosque, whatever it is, I just abhor this kind of violence, and it's the kind of thing that we should do something about. But what do you do?
Mm.
Well.
Do we have confirmation this guy was an atheist? Or
no, we don't.
Because he shot up a place of worship.
Right. Right-wing extremists, you know, that are white supremacists generally come from a Christian point of view.
I was just going to say. Uncle Chuckles, I hate to break it to you, but that would be mostly your religion that is populating
I dare say that most of those kinds of
extremism.
People are Christian extremists.
Yeah.
Hitler wanted to be a Catholic priest when he was a kid.
Really? Thank you for that fun fact.
There's
and that early Hitler reference.
Hooray.
Okay. Greg Gutfeld on the 5.
Violence married to ideology goes big on the left. You could even go higher to Stalin, Mao, Ho Chi Minh, and Hitler. The left owns that turf.
Hitler was not part of the left, you moron.
Hitler and Mao? Wait a minute. What?
Hitler and Stalin?
Well, really, they had a non-aggression pact in the late 30s. Not out of any ideological affinity, but because they wanted to not step on each other's toes when they were carving up Poland. But other than that, I mean, totalitarianism could cut left or right, but
I just got whiplash from
liberalism that. Liberalism is the antithesis of totalitarianism.
Yes.
That was him trying to divorce the right from the right-wing extremism that happened in Wisconsin.
Just like Mao and Hitler.
Yeah.
Ow, neck brace. Okay, Shannon Bream, she's a Fox News straight anchor, right up the middle, right up the just journalism, folks.
If President Obama gets his way, the special voting rights of some of America's finest will be eliminated. The campaign is suing to keep members of the military from having extra time to cast their ballots in one key battleground state.
Is that fighting in Ohio, where it's trying to give everybody early voting rights, not just the military.
Oh, boy. Okay. For those all y'all that just watch the Fox News, here's what the truth is.
Everybody includes the military.
The Republican legislature is trying to curb early voting. And you see, the White House is suing to let everybody in Ohio vote early, like they always have in the past.
Not just the military.
Yes.
Right. So somehow that
is taking away early voting rights for the military, according to Shannon Bream.
Here's the question. According to Think Progress, why does Mitt Romney want to restrict voting rights for more than 900,000 Ohio veterans?
Right.
Because, you know, if you've retired, if you leave the military, you're no longer covered. You have the same voting rights as any other civilian. So that means the early voting law, which Mitt Romney wants to undo, provided hundreds of thousands of Ohio veterans with more of an opportunity to vote. So that would really be the story if Fox News were covering it in some sort of...
They were an actual journalistic organization.
So that just kind of shows that Shannon Bream is a liar.
Yeah.
She lied. Yeah. Straight out lied.
Over and over. This was the Obama campaign is suing to restrict the voting rights of the military.
No.
Over and over. Story after story on the Fox News. That story, inflamed by the Romney camp, patently false. In fact, the Obama campaign suing to block an Ohio law which restricts a very successful early voting program in the state. The president's campaign trying to keep expanded voting rights from place for everyone, military included.
Wow, right.
So almost exactly the opposite
of what she said.
The supporting the restriction of voting rights, that's as many as 913,000 Ohio veterans. This includes military retirees with over 20 years of service and multiple deployments. Non-early voting quite literally resulted in the disenfranchisement of voters. That's what Mitt Romney wants to go back to. That's what he wants to subject nearly a million Ohio veterans to. This is so blatant, you know, to try to...
Isn't there some way of holding Fox accountable for lying like that? I mean...
Oh, that's so cute. That's the most hopeful thing he's ever said.
Can't the FCC step in at some point?
The FCC has no jurisdiction over them because they are not broadcast,
not broadcast over the
airwaves.
Mm. So they can say whatever they want.
Exactly.
Wow.
Yes. Okay. They just report. You know, you decide.
You decide.
Okay.
Yes.
46 minutes after the hour.
They report lies.
The lies, and then you decide.
You decide if they're true or not.
46 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
A beautifully wrapped, glossy, sweet-smelling show.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Why don't they do what they say? Say what they mean. One thing leads to another. Till there's something wrong. I know I listen to love. One thing leads to another.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 51 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Charlie Pierce, Esquire.com, coming up some hilarious stuff once again. Carol in Pennsylvania, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Carol.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Great show.
Thank you.
Really enjoying it. I think that over the past 2 years, our Congress has done nothing. I'm talking about the House of Representatives specifically. We should rescind their salaries. And,
that's not true. They haven't done anything. They've repealed health care 33 times with our taxpayer money.
To my point, exactly.
Yep.
And I understand they're only going to be in session for 8 days. Time to close them down. Shut the building, lock the door, and throw the key away because they're not going to do nothing anymore.
Shut her down. She says shut her down. That's it.
Well, then...
nothing good can be accomplished.
I mean,
either.
There's not even the possibility
Why
of getting something
done.
Why
don't we just tell the Republicans we're on vacation and everybody else come back? Ace in North Carolina, you're on the Stephanie Miller.
I think they read newspapers.
Well, hi,
America's funniest congressional pranks. Hi, Ace.
I can't tell if I'm hearing commercial over me. I had two things to say, and the first was, if Mitt Romney's taxes were on the up and up, why hasn't John McCain stood up and, as he tends to do when he hears things he doesn't like, railed against Harry Reid?
Yeah.
John McCain hasn't said a word.
I know,
That's
because you have to wonder if he's nervous, that what if Romney releases
John McCain is the only one who's seen the actual tax returns. You're right.
Exactly. Yeah. But on top of that, you know, consider this. How could he have made his trickle-down economic argument running as president if his own vice presidential candidate, Mitt Romney, hadn't paid taxes or maybe paid 1%?
Yep, exactly.
He couldn't have done it. And then the other thing was, this is, I hope every Democrat running for Congress right now listens to this. This is the laziest Congress to have been in session under the Republicans ever.
Well, when you go on record as saying your number one priority is to defeat the president, that's what their number one priority is. And there's, you know, there's a story today about, I mean, the job creators, you know, the precious, fragile job creators.
Aww. Don't disturb the job creators. You might make them angry.
They're gonna. What they're saying basically is they are holding off on hiring because of this Republican Congress,
right.
Because
mm-hmm.
of the
obstructionism,
the fiscal cliff, and they're going to take us there again. And so of course they're nervous about hiring. And this is exactly what they want. They want hiring to slow before the election. I mean, it's just it's anyway. Okay, here's the throw in the LA Times that I thought was interesting.
Oh.
Well. This is a tiny sliver of what might be in Mitt Romney's tax returns. I mean, that's all you can kind of try to piece together. And again, I think I said this yesterday. I don't think anyone's accusing him of being a crook. I think his tax returns are probably Exhibit A about the tax, the unfairness of the tax code.
Exactly.
It's not probably that he did anything illegal.
Nothing illegal.
It's that guys like him can find every tax hole and tax hole.
Loophole.
I call him a tax hole. He is a tax hole.
Right.
My point is tax loophole and tax shelter. This story out of
because
the
he can afford the best accountants who know mm-hmm. all of the tricks.
By our friend Robin Apkarian in the L.A. Times, mm-hmm. Romney's caught in housing bust got tax cut in La Jolla. It's just the lengths that you can go to when you have that kind of money. Mitt, you know, we've all obviously been caught in this housing, downturn. Mitt and Romney were easily able to afford the $12 million La Jolla home. That's out here in mm-hmm. San Diego in 2008. After paying cash,
yeah. Wow,
I got that on me. $12 million. After paying cash for the Mediterranean-style house with 61 feet of beach frontage, they asked San Diego County for dramatic property tax relief.
Wow.
San Diego County assessor records shed light on one sliver of the couple's personal taxes during that time, a months-long effort to reduce their annual property tax bill. Initially, the Romneys asked that their 2009 assessment, $12.24 million, be reduced to $6.8 million. I mean, yes, there was a downturn, but that's... I mean,
they were calling for a downturn so they could lower their property
tax. Maintaining their home had lost about 45% of its value in the first 7 months they owned it. 13 months later, after hiring an attorney to guide them, the Romneys filed an amended appeal contending the home had suffered a less dramatic fall when the first one didn't work. Dramatic fall of 27.3% to $8.9 million. They also filed an appeal for the 2010 tax year, claiming the house had dropped further to $7.5 million, 38.7% less than the home's assessed value. As a result, the Romneys saved about $109,000 in property taxes over 4 years.
Which is nothing to them.
Right?
Right.
Nice.
Why are they fighting for basically what they consider nickels and dimes.
That's lunch money to them. I mean, what? That's, you know, taking care of Rafalka for a week.
Yeah, I mean, again, not illegal.
Not illegal.
Right, where you'll scream, oh, well, if you're, you know, and it's not to say it's not done, that if your assessed value falls, but it's like, that's pretty drastic, and it's a pretty drastic attempt to avoid paying taxes.
Absolutely.
I mean, yeah,
and it's just to stick it to the government. I mean, they don't. It's they didn't need that extra.
Right, and they're enjoying the goods and services that the government provides without paying their fair share for said goods and services.
Are you saying they didn't build that road to the beach house?
They did not build
that
road to the beach house.
Mm. Let's see, Clint in Florida. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, hi, Clint.
Hi, morning, everyone.
Good morning.
So I had a comment about the Mitt Romney and Harry Reid situation.
Yes.
To me, while I kind of agree with what's going on, I think they're using some of the same dirty tricks that the Republicans have been using for years to get elected. I feel like it's in a similar vein to the birther's attack on Obama's birth certificate.
Except
Obama
that...
did everything legal, but they still attacked him. Technically, Mitt Romney has done everything legal, and they are attacking him.
Yes, except the birth certificate thing was a complete lie. And
right. Well,
the only
sure,
way we can prove if this is a lie is for him to release his tax returns, as every other
right.
candidate has done.
Well, understood, but I'm an Obama fan. I'm going to vote for Obama. But I just kind of feel like it's a similar type of dirty trick.
I see your point. He's not required to release his tax returns, but it's tradition,
well,
too.
Well, again, but see, the same as that story I just read out of the L.A. Times. Right. Chris, just apparently different rules.
It makes a difference.
For really rich people and the rest of us, or any other candidate that's ever run for president.
If he's running on his fiscal
His excuse seems
abilities.
To be, I don't have to because I'm Mitt Romney.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it amounts to,
right?
58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
The Stephanie Miller Show. Wahoo! Why do I say that? Because it's Charlie Pierce Hour. Charlie Pierce from Esquire.com at the bottom of the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the website. SexyLiberal.com, SexyLiberal on Facebook for all the upcoming dates. Oh, someone requested Sexy Liberal Tour Director Roland to open the show. He says there is not enough Xanax in New York City for me to open the show.
Yeah.
It's a little too high strung for that.
Well, he also got some bad news this morning.
What's that?
Marvin Hamlisch died.
Oh.
Yeah.
He's a big, he's a Broadway boy.
Yeah.
He's a Broadway baby.
Yeah.
I know.
Aw.
Terry writes, going to the Big Apple, thanks for the excuse to go. We love New York. Woot. Yep. Right? I think you speak for all of us.
Fresh from their star-studded performance in Hollywood.
They drummed you right out of Hollywood.
The year's hottest political show. The Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour is finally coming to the city that never sleeps. New York.
So you come crawling back to Broadway. Well, Broadway doesn't go for booze and dope.
On October 27th, the eve of Election 2012, the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour will take the stage at Broadway's world-famous Beacon Theater.
There is nothing like the thrill of doing a live show on Broadway.
Featuring John Pulsang, Hal Sparks, Aisha Tyler,
Sexy Lady,
and Stephanie Miller. For tickets, go to Ticketmaster.com or call 866-858-0008. Don't miss your one and only chance to see all the Sexy Liberal Comedy Players live on one stage. That's the Stephanie Miller's Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour at the Beacon Theater.
I love New York. You know why? Because it's open all night.
Mm-hmm, that's what I'm told. Okay. Alicia's going from Vermont. Alicia, hi, Steph. My husband and I just got tickets to the New York show for the meet and greet afterwards. We're so excited. Squee.
Squee.
I started watching your show on Current. Now I can't go a day without Mama and the Mooks. What the heck's a Mook? For those of us just joining us, I don't really remember.
Right.
Something disparaging.
It's some kind of jerk from Long Island.
According to the Urban Dictionary, it's a noun. It's a dumb male, typically young and from the Northeast. Ignorant and garish, Mooks are easily defined by a dozen characteristics listed below. Mostly from New Jersey.
And they mostly say things like, oh!
Friggin' Mooks.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I'm from New York, so I don't know. At some point many, many years ago, I just went, you friggin' Mooks.
No, you're from Buffalo.
That's not.
I lived in the city.
You did, but...
Friggin' Mooks.
You're not of the city.
You know why? You know that? Because you're
New York
Mooks.
Shoot you up and spat you out. Twice.
I even saved the Friday show to watch on Saturdays and Sundays. Sick, I know. Not really. It's like chewing gum. You just put it under your chair for a little bit. Still good.
Yeah.
Do we have Mooks in Vermont? Don't know. See you in October. I don't know. Maybe not.
Mook can't get there from here. No, that's not.
That's
New Hampshire.
That's different.
Maine.
Vermont has that accent, too.
Yeah.
Wow. You know, we were saying a lot of bigots not very bright. I don't know. Start with the Chick-fil-A's and move to the people that misidentifies different religions or races. Gawker brings us bigotry fail. Anti-gay protester accidentally sets fire to lawn outside General Mills with a box of flaming Cheerios.
Yeah.
What?
There's video of it, too. It's hysterical.
Protesting General Mills' pro-gay agenda?
Yeah.
Cheerios are gay? I had no idea.
The company General Mills has, the domestic...
What?
Partnership benefits and stuff like that.
I've been eating gay cereal most time.
Most large companies across the country now have domestic partnership benefits.
And he was protesting outside the company's Golden Valley, Minnesota. That sounds gay right there. The headquarters, a protester inadvertently sets fire to the lawn after torching a box of quote-unquote homosexual Cheerios and pouring the flaming cereal pieces into a bowl to make some kind of
statement.
Point. Yeah. Some sort.
Point Ow. Being that point you're taken. An idiot.
And he lit the lawn on fire.
Yeah. Yes, I think the point is. Yeah. Yeah. All right.
There's video of it, and it's hysterical.
You would think he would have chosen Fruit Loops.
Well, yeah,
Cheerios?
But that's Kellogg's target. But
oh.
That's not General Mills. That's Kellogg's.
Fruit Loops a lot gayer than Cheerios.
Well, of course.
Count Chocula? Hold on.
No.
Okay. Jim. Who said it's like Robin Hood in reverse? It's Romney Hood. Who said that?
Brigitte Nielsen.
Oh, we'll get to that later. No.
And there
President
are
Obama with a little zinger about Mitt Romney.
Frankenberry was gayer than Count Chocula because he was pink.
Gay.
He was pink.
Captain Crunchberries. What's gayer than Crunchberries? Captain Crunch and Crunchberries.
I think Captain Crunch.
He looked like
butch.
A cartoon village person. That guy.
No,
Captain
he was pretty butch.
Yeah, Captain Crunch is pretty butch. Some of the sailors, I'm not. Sure
yeah.
That, but
Mr. Smee.
He has pink berries.
I think they're more red.
Okay. At least they're not blue. Okay.
And yeah. Lucky Charms has pink hearts. So make of that what
no,
you
want. He was a homo. Right, Lucky was a homo.
All right. Now a fight has broken out.
The
about
Cocoa
what the
Puffs bird.
What the
Cuckoo the Cocoa Puffs bird.
All right. Now the show's off the rails. Now we're going to fight all morning about what the gayest cereal is.
Pretty sure it's not Wheaties.
No.
No.
No. Okay. Jeff writes, this is Jeff.
Snap, Crackle, and Pop, they all live together.
Could I get on with the issues of the day?
They had a threesome, they all live together.
Snap, Crackle, and Hey!
Hey!
Hey, girl. Okay.
Three snaps in a circle, Crackle.
All right.
Sorry about that. Go ahead.
Okay. Everybody settle.
And scene.
Settle and scene. Okay. Jeff writes, I think he's the smartest boy in class today. Bing, there it is. Okay. Hey, Stephen Gang. It's true there is no requirement for Mitt Romney to release his tax returns or any other personal financial documentation, but there's also no requirement that anyone vote for him. He's asking for our vote. He's asking us to commit a metaphorical sacrament, our vote, to his support to make him president of the United States, which is, you know, a BFD.
Yep.
He's asking us to trust him enough to vote for him. He, however, doesn't trust us enough to show us his tax returns. He's afraid we'll use the information poorly while assuring us without evidence that he'll use the power of the presidency well. Let me say that again. He wants us to trust him, but he doesn't trust us.
Mm-hmm.
That's all we're saying. It is help us help you. Show us
show
the money.
Show us how deserving you are.
Yes. Show us that you are so fiscally responsible that you can run the country.
There you go. I just went all Jerry Maguire there for a moment. Okay. All right. I just love the headlines. Can I just say, unfazed Harry Reid keeps hammering Romney on taxes.
It's that boxer mentality, I tell you.
Yeah, I know. So somebody said, it's a boxer's instinct. His spokesman said, you find your opponent's weak spot, and until he finds a defense, you just keep pounding it.
Yeah.
Faint, jab.
His spokesman, Burgess Meredith.
Body blow.
His spokesman, Burgess Meredith, said that.
Uppercut.
Women, weaken legs.
Go, Harry.
Go.
You're going to eat lightning and crap thunder.
Whatever.
I never saw that movie.
Oh, God. Okay. What? Harry Reid.
This whole issue is not about men. Mitt Romney's the first presidential candidate since his dad ran not to release his income tax returns. This whole controversy would end very quickly if he would release his income tax returns like everybody else has done.
Dad, go! You made a marriage, Harry. Go!
All right. Yes, what is this story? Where is this from? Oh, Talking Points. The fierce pushback from Republicans against Harry Reid appears to only be fueling his quest. This is what someone said yesterday that knows him. They're like, he loves this.
Yeah.
He is telegraphing he has no interest in letting up. His chief of staff upped the taunts by calling Republicans a bunch of cowards and henchmen for Romney in an interview with Politico.
Love that.
To turn it around, all their childish rants this weekend about calling Reid a liar and all that.
A dirty
liar. It just shows how it just shows how scared they are that Harry Reid was telling the truth. Did you think? Reince Priebus. He's like Pavlov's.
Yeah.
Nazi dog. Okay.
He's just playing this game, and, you know, it's amazing to me that there can be any honor in a position that he holds, that he's degraded so far down the tubes. So, you know, it is what it is. I mean, he's a dirty liar, and we're moving on. We're moving on to defeating this president and saving this country.
No, you're not.
Prove that he's a liar.
No, you're not. No, you're not.
Prove that he's a liar by releasing the tax returns.
Yeah, that's all you need to do. It's simple as that. Just go down to Pinko's, like someone said yesterday.
Even the Wall Street Journal said Reid isn't on the ballot this year. Romney is. Yeah. As the Journal argued, Mr. Romney's problem is that he can only disprove the charge by releasing his tax returns. Oh, how inconvenient. One of Reid's other spokesmen said responded by vouching for the credibility of the source and inviting Romney to disprove the claim by releasing a series of tax returns, calling him the most secretive candidate since Richard Nixon. He said it's clear Mitt Romney is hiding something, and the only way for him to clear this up is to be straight with the American people and release his tax returns. Lindsey Graham. Oh, now it's a bar fight when Lindsey Graham jumps in.
Yeah.
I think he's lying about his statement, knowing something about Romney.
Hmm. I think he's lying.
That's what I think.
That sounded oily. That just sounded weaselly, didn't it?
I think he's lying.
That's this is all just name-calling, and the only thing. And that's what Harry Reid's smart about. Yep. Whether you agree with how he's doing it or not, the only way to solve this is to see the tax returns. Press Secretary Jay Carney said, I would simply say that you all probably know Senator Reid well, and you know he speaks for himself. I think it's a fair point. To make that this is an issue that was not originated during the general election campaign, did not start with the president's campaign or with Senator Reid. It started in the Republican primary. When Governor Romney's opponents brought up this issue. Oh, that's the next ad we should run.
Yes.
It was all his Republican opponents asking for the tax returns. He said, you know, it's not always every candidate's favorite part of the process, but it's a tradition that's important. It's valuable to the American people as they decide who should be president. So that's why the president has put forward his financial information, his tax returns when he was a candidate. The reason why this is an issue at policy level is the president believes very strongly, and this is central to the debate we're having in this country, that we need to have greater tax fairness. That's exactly my point, is that's why, because it's Exhibit A. Romney's tax returns, I'm sure, are Exhibit A about tax fairness or unfairness in this country. Carney also said, I would refer you to Senator Reid. He knows his source. He said, the president has not expressed an opinion to me on this. He believes in the tradition of releasing tax returns. And this was an issue, again, raised by contenders for the GOP nomination. They just keep throwing it back.
Thank you, Rick Perry.
As Newt Gingrich and would Newt say, Gingrich. Once again, let's cut the pious baloney.
Baloney.
Tee-hee. All right, 17 minutes after the hour.
And Chris Christie said, yum, baloney.
Yeah.
All right. 19 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call Stephanie now. She's easy. 1-800-STEPH-12.
Stephanie Miller.
Back again. Check, get directed. Let's begin. Party on, party people. Let me hear some noise.
Stephanie Miller.
In the house, jump, jump, rejoice. There's a party over here. A party over there. Wave your hands in the air. Shake the dairy, yeah.
That's too many instructions for me.
Keep up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Whoop. Whoop. Okay. 24 minutes after the hour.
Where is it?
What?
There it is.
What?
Oh, there.
Whoa.
There it is.
Okay. All right. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. All right. Charlie Pierce coming up from Esquire.com.
The Trix Rabbit was pretty gay.
Okay. Are we still talking about which is the gayest cereal? Seriously?
Silly rabbit.
All right. Bud in Thousand Oaks. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Bud.
Hey, Steph.
Hi. Go ahead.
It's great to hear from you. First-time caller.
Thank you.
And me and my brother record your show every day.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, you're one of those.
Great to hear from me. Did I call you? I don't remember, but all right. If you say so, I probably drunk dialed you. Go ahead.
I wanted to tell. I wanted to talk about how Jenna Jameson just endorsed Mitt Romney.
Yep. Yes.
Yeah. Finally, he has someone who changes position as often as he does.
Oh, you see what Bud did
that
there?
That was funny. That was funny. I could tell he was a little nervous in his delivery, but that was funny.
Which way is Ron Jeremy going? That's what I want to know. Linda Lovelace still alive? What's happening?
Yeah. She did die, but she turned into it like a hardcore Christian.
Yeah, we got to use that as an ad. What did she say? If you're rich, you want a Republican in office.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. Okie dokie. Steve in L.A., you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Steve.
Great show as usual,
Steph. Thank you, honey. Go ahead.
The reason Romney can't
show his tax returns, at least until he gets done with the Republican convention, is because he escaped criminal prosecution during the UBS, which is the United Bank of Switzerland, prosecution for everybody who was doing this illegal tax shelter. UBS paid $800 million to the Treasury Department.
Interesting.
Because they knew on the front that this was an illegal thing. And no one's asking Mitt if he amended his return. And that's what they allowed American citizens to do, was amend their returns, pay the penalty, and pay the taxes due, and they could go on their way. And this is where, you know, the Swiss bank security had to be given up, because the government was going to take away their right to do business in the United States. And Mitt is going to hold on till after the convention, and then he's going to say, oh, this was just a minor thing that was put together by the accountants, and it's no big thing. You're not going to go in a convention when you were subject to criminal liability for cooking the books on your taxes.
Wow.
Yeah, you know what? There's all kinds of drip, drip, drip stuff coming out that somebody sent me that. We'll get into this in a little bit. Might be a reason why Romney didn't stop in Italy. Amazing article on Romney and Bain ripped off Italy tax-free.
Yeah.
I mean, there's some incredible stories about Bain and just taxes, you know, offshore tax havens and it's just, it's so Byzantine in some ways that I think that's part of it, is the average person will just be like, what?
Yeah. I don't think we need to elect someone as president who has already pissed off the entire country of Italy, which is one of our
closest allies. And all the other ones.
Allies, yeah.
And England now.
Right.
Yes. It's Poland. Yeah. Jonathan in Pennsylvania. Hey, John, welcome.
Yeah, Stephanie, 2 points. First, you should do a sexy liberal calendar. And second, I don't understand how Republicans can criticize anyone after they basically implied for the last more than a year that that the CIA doesn't realize Obama's born in Kenya.
Say that one more time.
Okay, first, you should do a swimsuit calendar.
Oh, yes, got that. Got that part. Wrote that down.
Definitely. And second, I don't understand how the Republicans can criticize anyone when they basically imply that the CIA doesn't realize Obama was born in Kenya.
Right.
I mean, what?
Right. The CIA notoriously doofy. Just they miss stuff like that.
They're like
they're almost as clumsy as MI6. What? What did I say?
What did I say?
Or M16 is.
Yeah, M16.
Rick in Denver, City by the Bay. Hi, Rick.
Hi, Steph. Hey, while I was on hold, I was thinking whether Plenty and Jindal and Portman, are they Romney Hood's Mary Men? I guess that not, because I don't want to see Chris Christie in tights, that's for sure.
Oh, ouch.
I've been thinking about that when Obama took office, he had a minus 8 GDP, and now it's 1.5. If you started at 0, we'd be at a 9.5 GDP right now.
Mm-hmm.
I also did some quick numbers, and 20 million Americans either owe their jobs over the last 4 years or have kept their jobs relative to the job losses that were taking place in 2008 because of the Democratic policies. So Dems are just not great at telling their story, so I guess we need to get out and say that 20 million people have their jobs today.
Yep, exactly. All right. By the way, the stimulus, 3.3 million jobs it created is what the, again, these are the agencies that people have cited as nonpartisan in the past.
Right.
29 minutes after the hour, right back, CharliePierceEsquire.com, next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Talking to Arianna Huffington and Will Shortz, editor of the New York Times Crossword. Look, let's give this party a chance.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12. Okay, hold your calls. We have the gayest cereal, Fruity Pebbles.
Yep. And Barney used to dress in drag in the commercials in order to steal Fred's Fruity Pebbles.
Yes, all right.
Wow,
okay.
That
has been decided.
Officially the gayest.
Yep.
No more
cereal.
Calls.
No more calls. Yeah, hold your calls.
Hold
we
your
have
calls.
A winner.
Hold your what? Calls. Okay.
Okay, then. Oh, and this just in, Ron Jeremy did endorse Romney Jenna Jameson.
A couple of days before Jenna Jameson.
So his support's been coming in spurts from that industry.
Yes.
All right. Let's move on with our Tuesday friend. There's only one man now that understands.
He gets to follow that.
Pierce.
Pierce.
Charlie Pierce, political columnist for Esquire.com.
Why is everybody always laughing with me?
Oh, Charlie Pierce can follow anything. Hi, Charlie Pierce.
I was working on gay breakfast cereals, and then you called an audible and went to, like, over-the-hill heterosexual porn stars.
Right.
You can't expect a man to keep up. Although I did, in fact, have some doubts all my life about the Lucky Charms leprechaun.
Well, yeah. Yes.
Pink hearts. Pink hearts among other kings.
They were after his Lucky Charms, and I don't think he was talking about the pink hearts and the green clovers, if you know what I mean.
Would you like to see me Lucky Charms?
Although you have the best anagram for, is it Reince Priebus?
No, it was in your comment section, Charlie.
Yes, I have wonderful commenters who are smarter than I am who can actually do anagrams.
And it was,
it's urine crib seep. Anagram for Reince Priebus.
Okay. Well, we are starting the segment off on a very high level.
We are. Yeah, it can only go down from here.
Of all your stuff, I just love your the Sunday roundup stuff because, yeah, he was, I have to say, I agree with you. You said Reince Priebus, who is a nougaty and creamy caramel cluster of all by himself.
Yeah, he really had to carry the day on Sunday because, again, Meet the Press wasn't on because of the Olympics.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Bob Schieffer, you know, is reminiscing about the Tyler administration, so I don't usually watch over there. But, Reince was just outraged. That dirty liar. You're a dirty liar.
I'm not going to dignify that with that to that dirty liar. What?
Republican National Chairman Corky St. Clair was quoted saying,
you're
bastard
people. Bastard person.
And I hate your ass face.
Yes.
And I'll tell you why I can't put up with you people. Because you're bastard people.
Why did I know that was in the bank?
Yeah. I just hate you, and I hate your ass face.
But other than that, I'm not dignifying this with a comment. You said
Harry is really driving them nuts. And you know what?
I know.
I can't figure out why they haven't figured this out. I can't figure out why they haven't figured this out. He has nothing to lose.
Right.
Yeah.
He's 72 years old. He's probably not going to run again.
That's right.
He's fed up with the Senate because he can't get anything done because the Republicans are a bunch of vandals. So he decided to have fun with their presidential candidate. I mean, and the very serious pundits of the Beltway media are stroking their chins and trying to shame him out of stopping.
Yeah.
What exactly? What club do they have over his head to make him stop?
I mean,
we all know that Willard fed the tax returns to Rafalka with its oats.
That's right.
And if you want those returns back, you're going to have to get real messy to find them.
Oh. And you're right. It is entertaining to just watch. It's like that Simpsons thing, like, ow, quit it. Ow, quit it. He just won't stop. And you gave me some fun facts I did not know about Reince Priebus. You said before we begin, we should note for the record, Priebus ascended to his current position as the biggest cashew in the nut dish after being something of a complete and utter failure in his political career back in Wisconsin. In 2004, he ran for the state Senate, outraced his incumbent opponent by 3-1 and lost by 4 points. Then he became state Republican chair, which fast-tracked him to the job he has today. In short, those who can win, those who can't get appointed. There you go.
He was big in the German-American Bund.
Oh, stop.
He was very big in the Priebus Bund, which was prior to this one. He was the mastermind behind electing Scott Walker and the Senate there, Ron Johnson. So that's what really got him his job with the Republican National Committee. But the guy couldn't get elected, you know, Registrar of Bratwurst.
Yeah, dog catcher, as Harry Reid would say. And you caught the same thing I did. You said, I don't know what the hell he means by Reid not having filed a single pages of tax returns himself, as many people from Nevada have said he had to release them every year. What is he talking about?
Yeah, I mean, it's right up there with Romney's assessments that John Kerry hadn't done X, Y, and Z or whatever it was.
Right.
And it turned out that the reason he hadn't done it is because they've been out in the public for 16 years.
Right.
Every
right.
time he ran for re-election.
Right. And then you talked about his, I loved his rosy nostalgic story about his dad being a union electrician and his mom a realtor and how great their life was. And
they used to drive around and look at the pretty houses and imagine that they could, you know, and aspire to live in the pretty houses in Kenosha.
Yeah. And as you say, of course, Priebus now leads a party that has spent the last 4 decades ensuring that almost nobody can be a quote-unquote union electrician anymore. Mm-hmm. And has spent the previous couple of decades deregulating things so the average quote-unquote realtor is greeting people at Walmart. And B, moms and dads lost the houses that the realtor once sold them because gigantic banks gambled away their equity and their mortgages turned out to be written in Klingon. I mean, that's when I listen to that whole story. I'm like, what the hell are you talking about?
Because now we're in the middle, in case you haven't noticed, of the Mitt Romney middle class bus tour of America.
Right.
And somehow America has managed to go about its business while it doubles over in laughter.
Exactly.
I think that's marvelous.
But thank you for the point of the week. You say, as for the American dream, I think the son of a single mother who works his way through Harvard Law School gets selected to the U.S. Senate in the presidency despite being named Barack Hussein Obama, despite the fact that dopops like Rince Priebus are in positions of power, understand it better than the runner-up in a state Senate race from 8 years ago. But that's just me. Just great stuff. And then your Ann Coulter stuff.
Yeah, what is that all about?
I don't know.
Hasn't she gone way past the sell-by date?
Yes. You said fresh from her morning formaldehyde bath. There she was. So George Will, you was talking about Joe McCarthy, the mere mention of whom must have delighted La Coulter down to the depths of where there once was a desiccated soul replaced years ago by cheap Chablis and bong resin.
Bong resin. Nice.
Nicely done, my friend.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Not many people remember the adhesive qualities of bong resin, but I do.
And Chablis.
Yeah, and Chablis. I haven't heard that word in a while. Charlie, you picked up on
what's the current vino for, like, you know, the conservative undead? Is it Pinot Noir or?
I think it's
positive. What are they drinking in the lounges these days?
I think it's Riuniti on ice.
Oh, how nice.
So nice.
Yeah.
How nice. I caught this point, too, that you said later, though, Coulter got a chance to call JFK a drug-addicted president while everyone looked away and wondered how their lives had come to such a terrible pass as to be spending time with the shouty lady who feeds the pigeons in the park. Yeah, I know. It really does. They just lose all credibility when they have her on, don't they?
She lost her. I mean, if she was ever entertaining, it was an awfully long time ago, and you know, roughly around the time that everyone was chasing Bill Clinton's penis all over Washington.
Yeah.
But there was a moment there where you just saw the other four people on the panel kind of look over at either the executive producer off camera or the booker or someone and going, you know, we all had careers here once, and now we're on the subway train and it's stalled between stations and it's getting a little hot and we don't really trust this person.
You know, and you made I thought I was the only one that made this point, and of course I would count on you to. I was talking about the John Stewart, who we all agree is brilliant, but you say you were talking about here about John Stewart. Editors, no, wait, we seem to have a new metric here on what's fair or unfair, the Stewart Meridian, beyond which politicians dare not cross. I mean, that's what I was trying to say. I think he's great. That doesn't mean we always have to agree with him or, oh, he's the barometer of what's out of bounds or not, right?
No, it's funny. I was reading the – I wrote this. This is the first item on the blog today. The people who must think this whole – all the criticism of Harry Reid, the people who must think it's the most hilarious, Vince Foster's family.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, they must just think this is hilarious.
Yeah.
You know, we had two congressional investigations, and one special prosecutor got fired because he came to the wrong conclusion. And
yep.
now all of a sudden we're into some rules of civility that nobody can really understand. It's like the unwritten rules of baseball.
Yeah.
All of a sudden Harry Reid is being uncivil because he's you know, having a little fun, you know, with the most obvious political attack that you could find.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, there's no more obvious attack you can make on Mitt Romney right now.
Yeah. No, absolutely. My favorite post this week of all of them, the RNC has a bad case of the unpopulars. I love the names of the speakers for the upcoming RNC are beginning to leak out to really get the effect. Try reading off the names in your best Don Pardo voice. That's why I have Jim Ward here.
Oh, excellent.
Yes, here we go.
South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley, most recent approval rating, 38%. Florida Governor and one-time Medicare scam artist Rick Scott, most recent approval rating 31%. Ohio Governor and once and future Fox News boy toy John Kasich, most recent approval rating an astronomical 47%, but that's after getting his ass kicked around the block by referendum. It's Lollapaloozers.
Yay! It's the commercial
that's
rights itself.
Well. I am honored to have my work read by Jim Ward.
I'm with you as you say.
You know, I just figured out he could probably do the entire summary of the weekend talk shows in all their voices.
Yeah.
Does he do a Coulter?
I wouldn't touch her with it. Well, you know.
Oh.
Well, okay.
I wouldn't touch her with yours.
With her own.
Yeah. Not with yours either.
He wouldn't. Ann Coulter with her? Okay. I agree with you. You say my money's still on the strip joints outdrawing everything else at the RNC. I think that's a safe bet.
We have actual empirical, you know, market research data that proves that the Republicans are much more in places like Utah are much more into like porn and stuff.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
And look who's piling up. And once again, we return to the theme of today's program. Look who's piling up the endorsements.
Yeah, yeah.
Does anyone know where like Jamie Gillis has come down on things yet?
or Dobie Gillis for that matter.
Or Dobie for that matter. All right.
What?
What?
Sorry.
Yeah, it's just random went Tuesday today.
All right, random welcome to.
Hey, by the way, Chris, what exactly was Rio Needy? Was that wine?
Yes, it was sweet wine.
Oh, thank you, Stephanie.
Thank you.
In.
I think it was a wine cooler before wine coolers were wine coolers.
It was just sweet wine.
Was it?
I know. I was very into Rio Needy. Yes.
Oh, somewhere in upstate New York, there's like an old Pacer with a bunch of empty bottles.
Of Rio Needy, yeah.
Charlie Pierce, Chris Stuff, as usual.
Mysterious stains on the carpet.
Esquire.com. See you next week, honey.
See you later.
All right, there you go. All right, 45 minutes after the hour. Oh, I've just booked my BFF. Jackie Schechner coming up. We have a girl segment a little bit on the Olympics. Have you seen all the sexism going on with the Olympics? Oh.
Are we going to talk about the...
I was very proud of the American girls beating Canada yesterday.
Thank you.
4-3.
Yeah.
Are we going to talk about Fox News and their attitudes on the Olympics?
Yeah.
All right.
Need a little estrogen up in here. 46 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
On the Stephanie Miller radio show in suburban America this morning.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller. Oh,
don't do that.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show up in here. 50 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1.
It's girl talk up in here.
Yeah, right? Sue in Rockville writes, a job opening for me? Steph, here's the situation. My husband retiring today will be home all the time starting tomorrow. This will not go well for either of us. I need to get out of the house, and you're in serious need of some more gal mooks. Rebecca finally escaped. Jackie only appears... Once the minute for the top of the hour, there's way too much testosterone in that studio, so I'm applying to be your gal mook. My qualifications are really good at snark, bring you many years of bitchiness to the table.
And babies.
Help me, Obi-Wan. Stephanie, you're my only hope. I'm sorry.
She says no.
Got to bring my BFF on for our... Yeah. I can bust her out of that newsroom whenever I want. Jackie Schechner!
You're flexing some muscle.
Here we go. Inject some estrogen into the fort, please.
Well, speaking as your BFF gal pal, I have to tell you, I just pulled up this little article talking about your appearance at TCA and how you were wearing a blazer that, quote, just barely covered your cleavage.
It's true.
Yeah, that's true. I was thinking I needed your fashion help before I did that.
What
kind of move are you trying to make here? Jesus.
I don't. But here it is. It's the double standard, isn't it, BFF Jackie Schechner?
Well, no, your bits were hanging out of your
jacket.
Yeah,
no, it was inappropriate.
Yeah.
I am appalled, and I certainly hope Gavin Newsom didn't notice.
Oh, God.
But seriously, can you believe it? I sent you this story yesterday because I heard Rush Limbaugh,
you like my outrage to build over time.
Yes. I was hoping to build it to a slow boil by this morning. But I heard Rush Limbaugh talking about this, and it's like this fake controversy. First of all, Gabby Douglas, who is beautiful and an Olympic, you know, athlete, mm-hmm. and he was talking about her hair. But he claims that, liberals are saying her hair is too straight.
It's too white.
It's styled like the white girls.
Right.
And she said, I don't know where this is coming from. What's wrong with my hair? I just made history and people are focused on my hair.
I haven't seen a single liberal talk about Gabby Douglas's hair.
I bet you Hillary's already given her a call, Jackie. Don't you think?
I'm just wondering here why Rush Limbaugh is the authority to comment on anybody's physical appearance.
Exactly.
I mean, really, I understand that he's quite the specimen.
Yes.
But seriously.
Hair-wise and body-wise. Who better?
I mean, really nothing going on there that I would want to emulate.
And meanwhile, I haven't heard one liberal say anything about her hair. It's, you know.
And you want to keep your hair out of your face when you're flying upside down.
I know.
So you're going to pull it back.
Yeah. All right. And then
until he can fly through the air with that kind of
like
grace
that.
And athletic ability, he's not allowed to comment.
He might
oh my
do
God.
That once.
If that could be an Olympic event, like him and Chris Christie on a teeter totter.
It'd have to be the catapult event.
The catapult. Oh, my friends. Okay, so the other controversy. At the 2012 Olympics, a list of female athletes have hit back at critics who've called them fat, including a British heptathlon champion, Jessica Ennis, Australian swimmer, and the entire Brazilian women's soccer team.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how ridiculous is this? These are Olympic athletes.
Yeah, it's absurd. I mean, there is, first of all, when you train for any sort of sport, whether you're doing it just for personal fitness or for a competitive sport, your body's going to take on muscle. And it's not about what you physically look like. It's about how physically fit and strong you are, right? And how
right.
you can push your body to whatever the physical limitations are that you want to push it to. So why we would judge somebody based on an appearance is so unbelievably absurd on any level. I mean, these women are so strong and so powerful and, frankly, so confident.
Right. And one sports executive said, like, well, we don't need to, but women athletes still regularly get comments about their appearance that men don't. I mean, it just, here we are in 2012. One British triathlete who competed in 2008 quit high-level sports in May for the sake of her health after recurrence of an eating disorder brought on by a coach telling her she was too fat. I mean, it's this Australian, the three-time gold medalist, this Lizelle Jones figure was questioned by some in the media. This sparked an angry reaction from teammates, an online uproar about body image and what constitutes fit or fat. There's a British swimmer. She won two bronze medals in London, told reporters she was going to avoid reading Twitter comments during the Olympics because so many were insults about her appearance.
Yep.
Yeah, because you sitting on your couch at home tweeting about somebody's appearance is an Olympic.
As you're stuffing cheesy poofs in your mouth.
When you can go out and do what these athletes do, then you've earned the right to comment. Other than that, not so much.
Yeah, I love it. This is my favorite one. She's got to go on my future wife list, even though she's not gay. British weightlifter Zoe Smith won fans when she hit back at attacks on Twitter saying she looked like a lesbian and a bloke, addressing her critics as chauvinistic, pig-headed blokes who feel emasculated as we're stronger than them. She said, we don't lift weights in order to look hot.
Right.
Good for her.
She said, we, as any woman with an ounce of self-confidence, would prefer our men to be confident enough in themselves to not feel emasculated by the fact that we aren't weak or feeble. You go, sister. She could probably bench press that fat-ass Rush Limbaugh in the middle of the next election cycle, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's amazing. Yeah. I sign up for that fan club. She's terrific. I mean, when did we stop looking at food as fuel? I mean, at some point, if you're going to be an Olympic athlete, you need to eat.
Yeah.
You need to fuel that machine. So somebody's going to cut back on eating in order to tailor their appearance to somebody else's preferable aesthetic? Forget it.
You see all kinds of different body types. I was watching the women's soccer yesterday, and there's some very, you know, gracile sort of bodies and more
gracile.
That's what
wow.
And
word of the day.
Anyway.
Okay.
But.
Right.
There are
a variety of
And you end
types,
up playing
right.
different positions on the team, depending on...
And that's what one of them said, is that athletes can come in any size, is what their point is. There's one American weightlifter that's big, but, you know, guess what? If you're going to bench press a Buick, you can't be Jackie Scheckner's size. By the way, if you see her on TV, that's actual size. If you put your fingers up to the television, that's exactly how big she is.
I'm stronger than I look.
I'm crushing her head right now.
That's not true.
And then the last thing is Fox News doesn't think Gabby Douglas is patriotic enough, because she's wearing pink.
And not red, white, and blue.
Come on.
She won a medal for her country.
Really?
That's not patriotic.
How are women going to do anything? We have to worry about our hair,
we're
wearing.
She's black.
If we're fat enough. Like.
Have you seen the picture, the full picture uncropped of her leaping on the beam?
No.
And how much air she gets?
That's amazing.
You just post that up in front of the Fox host and say,
that she has a brace on her ankle and also on one of her wrists, too. So she's working, you know, injured and still winning gold medals.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
They had a Tea Party host on to say how, in a very sad voice, how America has lost over time that jingoistic feeling because a soft anti-American feeling that Americans can't show their exceptionalism. Like, you have to wear...
What?
Like red, white, and blue, or you're not American enough, you know? And her father serves in the military, by the way, and she's an Olympic hero for America.
Oh. Yeah, well, they should call Mitt Romney and ask where those costumes were made, right?
Yeah.
There you go. All right, BFF, love you.
I got to go do news.
Yes.
I know it, right?
Yeah, you tying me up.
And we
got to
introduce you.
Go get in your new superhero outfit now.
All right.
The red, white, and blue spandex. Go, all right. Run.
Goodbye. All right,
bye.
Bye.
Goodbye. All right, 58 minutes after the hour. We have Michael Shore of Young Turks coming
That's right.
up as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yeah, Yeah, I think we are collectively and individually losing it a little bit. Maybe we've been working together too long. I don't know what it is. I think I spend too much time alone, like Nell. So you're my only human contact of the day. So I just kind of...
Maybe you should swap us out for a Turk occasionally.
Crazy. Yeah, maybe I should. I think that's a good idea. We're entirely too comfortable with each other. All right. James in New York, a sexy liberal in New York. Yay. Woot.
Woot.
Steph, been waiting for this. Just got my meet and greet for me in the BF. Couldn't be happier. James. People coming in from... Bitches be crazy. People coming in from Hawaii. Minneapolis. Remember last hour? Who was her 10th show? Her 10th sexy liberal.
Right. And remember yesterday someone wrote in and said that they're going to the New York show all the way from Hawaii.
That's what I just said. Oh, you don't listen to me, do you?
What?
Because you spend too much time with me. Do you listen to me?
No. Bastard. You say something?
Maybe she...
I just said that. What did I just say?
What?
Nick writes...
I don't listen to you.
Oh, my God. You just repeated what I just said.
Yeah, I know.
You stopped listening to me, like, what, 10 years ago?
I did. What?
See, that's why I need new friends like Jackie, because nobody else listens to me anymore.
What? Sorry.
She said, and I probably got 2-3 days left with her.
At least I was working over here. I was doing work. Your work.
Whatever. Nick and Tom... Foxhound Wine and Spirits in New York City. Now we're talking. Mom and the Mooks just printed my Beacon Theater tickets with Meet and Grope. Yay! If you allow us the honor of being the official gay wine store owners, oh, now you're talking my language, of the Stephanie Miller Show, we'd be happy to provide some of wine for you and the cast.
Is the wine gay as well?
We know your affection for box wine, but we're thinking a case of Happy Bitch might be more appropriate. Anxiously awaiting our gropes. All right, this Happy Bitch, happy to oblige as long as I know. All right, okay, we got to, you know, whenever we talk guns, a million people call in write me with various, but I think it's important. Let's see, Alex the Army guy says most weapons and all assault rifles use magazines, not clips. Okay, my bad. The thing with a lot of bullets, and I think it's one of the problems, okay.
Time, Newsweek? Or...
No. Okay. Bill in Naperville on one of our earlier callers. Callers like that caller about the 30 clay. He keeps it as a knickknack, as a paperweight. Yep. He doesn't use it, but he thinks it's important. He should be able to have it. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Caller like the caller with the 30-round clip drive me nuts. They want to protect themselves from the big bad government, but the first to yell at any mention of military budget cuts. If the U.S. government cannot be trusted, why do they insist on arming them to the teeth? That's true. Because he said he needs his clip in case he has to fight the government.
In a revolution.
Whatever. In a revolution of some sort.
There was a cartoon I just saw online about the Mars rover, and it's some guy with a protester with signs, and government can't do anything, being hit in the head with the rover. You
know. Yeah. Hilarious. Oh, and Stephen in Chicago writes, so now right-wingers think McCarthyism was a bad thing? Now a warning?
Now a warning?
Okay. Yeah, now Harry Reid's doing it. Okay. All right.
Whatever.
All right. Here's a good idea. Let's get a Turk in here that hasn't heard all of my same bull for years and years.
A Turk who actually pays attention to
right?
you.
Right? Hi, Michael Schur.
Hi, Stephanie
Miller. How are you, honey?
I'm doing great.
Thank you very much, Michael. I appreciate you listening to everything I say. We said today that you are the Peter Brady of the Turks, because I think you're like the in-between Turk. You're not the youngest Turk, but you're not the oldest Turk like me.
Well, maybe, yeah. You know, I've always said that Cenk's dad is the oldest Turk.
Okay, there you go.
There you go. All right.
Yeah, but I'll take Peter Brady.
So, I got to tell you, I love this headline today. Liberals have Dirty Harry's back on tax charge against Romney. I, like you, am a liberal with a big set of brass ones, and I'm glad. Aren't you glad he's sticking with this?
Yeah, I sort of feel like that he has our back finally. I mean, you know, in a way, that's really what's. Of course, I'm happy he's sticking with it. I'm surprised. I think that he made a decision. All right, I'm done with politics, so I'm not going to run in Nevada again. And now I'm just going to start doing these things. So, to an extent, I think it's great. And I think that it's. I think what you're seeing is what the Democrats have wanted for a really long time from leadership and Congress, and that is to have sort of a public front that has brass ones. And as you said, that's what we're getting out of Harry Reid now, which is fantastic.
Well, and I'm glad that Nancy Pelosi backed him up, because again, you think, boy, if liberals would stick together, we might have, I don't know, a public option or something by now. Instead of going, oh, you're right, this is out of bounds, everybody backs away, I'm glad people are going, no, this is an important issue.
It's very important, but, you know, it's in a, even a more macro way, to see it happening is important, because maybe if it happens and they realize that it's okay and it's safe and it may even work, that they can apply it in other at other times. For example, whenever the next public option, whatever it is, comes up, they can realize that, hey, sticking together is going to work and we can get something done. And even though we seem like boring people who say things for the, for, you know, to right. our constituents back home, especially in the case of Harry Reid, that, you know, leadership be damned. Let's just go out and do what we were sent here to do. And I think that's really the most encouraging part of all of this.
Speaking, Michael, of little liberal wet dreams of mine, the headline, Dare I Dream? Pollster finds Democratic challengers surging in House districts held by vulnerable Republicans. I just said this to these guys this morning. Not that they remember, right?
What'd you say?
Bastards that I just, you know, you don't know if you can hope, but you go, God, I hope we get not just the president back in, but some people he can work with.
Yeah.
I mean, this is, and who knows, you know, at this point, but surveying several battleground House districts ahead of 2012, new poll finds the narrow lead for Republican candidates has evaporated, and the electorate in swing districts has warmed significantly to Democrats. They found an 8-point swing from Republicans to Democrats. Dare we hope, Michael Schur?
Well, dare we hope? I mean, I think that hoping that we're going to take over the House would be real liberal wet dream stuff, and I don't see that happening. But
yeah.
What I do see is exactly what this poll is showing. You know, I cover a lot of these smaller races because I think they're so important. And in each of those races that I cover, when I'm interviewing candidates or from, you know, even if I'm just doing the research, I see these trends away from these sort of very right wing Republicans or people who won in 2010 who weren't supposed to win at all. The party didn't even want them running, and sort of that flavor of the month thing seems to be dulling a little bit, and now the Democrats are taking advantage of that. And I think that's what's going to be the most important thing for Obama. If he can come in, if he can win re-election, you know, we're going to throw a lot of ifs out here. If he can win re-election, and if there is a more of a take of House seats than was expected even a few months ago, that's going to seem like another part of his victory. Not a mandate by any means, but just sort of, you know.
Interesting, Michael. The poll notes the state of the electorate's dissatisfaction with their House representatives looks similar to 2008 when Democrats added 21 new representatives. So, you know, I mean, I know they always say it's early, right?
Yeah. But, well, it is early, but it's starting to take shape now. And already you've even seen that. Now we have, like, somebody who's, you know, Glenn Day resigning. You see in Kentucky a resignation. You see other people at very, very late hours saying they're not going to run. You had Steve LaTourette in Ohio say that. So things open up. He's a Republican, a moderate Republican. But things open up even as you get closer. And if the trend catches, that's what the Democrats want to see happen. And then you get a couple of seats you didn't even think you had a chance of getting.
Well, you know, this is the headline. I don't know if you saw this in New York Times. It makes me crazy. Fearing an impasse in Congress, industry cuts spending. You know, these precious job creators that the Republicans are always telling us about.
Right.
So, you know, the story reads, a rising number of manufacturers are canceling new investments, putting off new hires because they fear paralysis in Washington. You know, will force budget cuts in January, undermining economic growth in the coming months. You know, and they're saying for everywhere from companies making everything from electrical components and power systems to automotive parts, say fiscal stalemate is prompting them to pull back now. And this is exactly what the Republicans want, right?
It is, but it's also, I mean, this is such a crock because we've had fiscal stalemate now for like a dozen years. So I don't understand why they decide now that, okay, now I'm going to pull back, you know.
Right.
That's the hypocrisy there. You can't blame it on Congress now if you haven't blamed it on Congress before. If you're a company, if you're a manufacturer, if you're a job creator, dare I say, you can't just all of a sudden wake up and say, all right, now it doesn't look like it's going so well for us, so I'm going
to... Well, you know, they're talking about this fiscal cliff, and, you know, one of the people interviewed said, we don't have to get to the edge of cliff before the damage is done. They're saying all told, political gridlock in the U.S. along with the debt crisis in Europe will shave about a half a percentage point off growth in the second half of the year. But again, you know, it's just, here we are. This is where Mitch McConnell went on record. Our number one priority is to make sure the president's a one-term president.
Well, I mean, this is the self-fulfilling prophecy. You know, if you create this, then you're going to disenfranchise all the people. I mean, they're great at disenfranchising, as we're learning every day. But they're you know, they're going to take their constituents away as well. And that's exactly what you said, Stephanie. I mean, they just, you know, they set this up, and now it's happening, and now they don't know what to do with it.
What do you make on the other side, Michael, of the, Sarah Palin, you know, they're talking about the Tea Party candidates.
Yeah.
Sarah Palin mounting an aggressive aggressive campaign in Missouri. Oh, boy. That soothing voice is always a plus. Automated telephone calls.
Right.
Even serving barbecued pork sandwiches. She's urging people to vote for Sarah Steelman, one of three Republicans. And there's, you know, she's saying fresh off a resounding Republican victory by Ted Cruz in Texas. Palin and the Tea Party are now trying to capitalize in Missouri, Wisconsin, and Arizona. Where are we at with the Tea Party, do you think?
Well, the Tea Party is the Senate Tea Party now. They're not as national. They're not as focused on House races. They are making the Senate their focus, and frankly, they're doing pretty well with Ted Cruz, with Richard Murdoch, you know, getting rid of Richard Lugar. So, you know, Sarah Palin is having some resonance, and I think it's because Jim DeMint is in the Senate. She has access to the Senate Campaign Committee of the Republican Party, and, you know, she is a name that works. Missouri is going to be a tough state for Democrats. There's a three-person race there, each one trying to out-conservative the other for the Republican nomination to face Claire McCaskill, and Claire McCaskill's not polling well against any of them. So, in a sense, it's working. She's picking spots. The Tea Party's picking spots. But it is a Senate thing. It does not seem to have sort of national resonance.
Interesting. To me, you know, maybe that's just me, but the more radio ads and auto calls she does with that soothing voice,
guys and gals,
I think the better.
Listen, I could listen to it all day long and think that that my party's going to do well, but again, right. It does work when she pinpoints where she wants to. I can't believe people listen to this woman. I just can't believe it.
Yeah. Well, as one guy that's called our show once said, I think my balls just hit the back of my throat with that last soundbite.
That's a great trick.
That's how grating that is.
Yeah.
All right. Michael Schur of the Young Turks. Awesome, honey. Talk to you again real soon.
Okay, Stephanie. Thanks.
All right. There he goes.
The Young Turks tonight on Current TV.
Yes, and he's also handsome and romantic. All right. 19 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call Stephanie now. She's easy. 1-800-STEP-12.
That's not my name.
Huh?
It's not my name.
Huh?
Wrong song.
Wrong song. Okay.
Stephanie Miller.
Yeah. 23 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Alex Bledel coming
Alexis.
Up. Alexis Bledel coming
oh,
up
God.
As the... She's an actress from Gilmore Girls and Mad Men.
Yes. And Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Jim was starring in Brotherhood of the Traveling Pants this weekend at my house. I don't know what happened to us. ¿Dónde están los pantalones?
No, but she's an Obama surrogate. She's part of Young Hollywood for Obama.
Which is why, of course, I didn't know the name immediately, because I apparently was not invited to the Young Hollywood gathering here.
No.
Maybe 30 years ago. You would
Yes.
No, 30 years ago, she was a Republican.
No, but I know who she is. I know who she is. I have 1 degree of Gilmore Girls separation. My nephew used to date Lauren Graham.
Really?
Who's the other... Yes.
I didn't know that.
Wow.
Right. Anyway, it was a great show. She was great
in
it.
Yes.
Yes. All right.
And now she's pimping for Obama, and that's a good thing.
Yes. All right. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number.
Lauren Graham, of course, in Bad Santa.
Yeah. Thank you, Jim. He said it, a squeezy voice. Eric in Mississippi. Hey, Eric. Welcome.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Go ahead.
Okay, yeah, I was calling about, you know, a lot of these calls about gun control and everything.
Yes.
And I believe it was Sharon Engel who coined the term Second Amendment solution.
She did.
And, you know, growing up in Mississippi in the South, you know, we're very macho and we like to protect ourselves and all that stuff. So it's like we currently have a guy running for Congress down here in Mississippi who said something similar, dealing with Chick-fil-A and that Rahm Emanuel should be introduced to the Second Amendment. I don't know if you covered that comment or not.
No.
But this pervasive feeling that if you just have a gun and you use it, you know, you can protect yourself and you can protect, you know, pretty much whatever you feel like. So if someone says something you don't like, you know, just get a gun.
Yep.
If someone disagrees with you, well, you've got a Second Amendment right to take care of that.
Yeah.
And here in the South, it's very, very pervasive.
Yep.
Like the amount of stuff I hear just on a day-to-day basis, like dealing with the shooting in Colorado, you know, if I was there, if I had my gun.
Oh,
like,
yeah. Oh,
there,
all the armchair. All the yeah.
Else.
Yeah, exactly.
Armchair
all the armchair
heroes
called our show about what they would have done if they, you know, they'd been there and blah, 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 if there'd been more guns. And, you know, exactly. If there would have been more guns, there'd be more carnage.
Would have shot my spider web into the ceiling and hung from the ceiling and shot him from above the
my laser gun.
Uh-huh. Sure. Jay Carney, the president's press secretary
if I
yesterday.
Get out of my mom's basement.
Oh, God. About the tragedy.
The question, as the president discussed in New Orleans, is not one of specific high-profile incidents alone. And the unfortunate reality is that while these terrible incidents get a lot of headlines, there is violence in America every day.
He went on to say President Obama supports reinstating the assault weapons ban, but, you know, obviously Congress is not going to act on that. There's a political reality, sadly. Michael Bloomberg on this again, Mayor Bloomberg.
The two presidential candidates cannot continue avoiding an issue that is one of the most serious threats we face as a nation and for our security.
You know, that just seems to me like a... It was only in 1994 that we passed it, that would not be that big something. It seems like something we could agree on. Carney said he does support renewing the assault weapons ban. In response to several questions, he added there's been reluctance in Congress to pass that renewal. He said the president wants to improve background checks and enforce laws to keep deadly weapons out of the hands of criminals. Jim was saying earlier, how did this guy, he's been tracked by these, you know, in terms of these hate groups for years and years. How did this guy get these kind of guns legally? And it's the same gun, by the way, because a lot of people went, oh, well, that's not an assault weapon. The 9mm, it has the... What do they say? Clips, magazines, whatever they're called.
Whatever.
That's the issue.
The thing that holds the bullets.
Right. And the reason why this was used here in Aurora, Jared Loughner in Tucson used it, is because it's easily concealed. The police chief there.
It was very close range. He was tending to someone down in a crouched position, what it appears.
The policeman.
And the individual walked up on him around a vehicle and engaged him very closely. Inches to a feet and fired at him. He was shot between 8 and 9 times.
Yeah, in the face and upper extremities. This policeman, I mean, and he's in critical condition, but I mean, and what a hero is this guy, too. He, by the way, they came to help him and he said, go help the people inside.
Yeah.
And shot 8 or 9 times in the face at close range.
Oh, my God.
A nephew of one of the shooting victims.
The gunman basically came into the parking lot shooting, shot people who were standing out in front, entered the temple. And open fired.
I mean, it gets so depressingly familiar that you just go, I mean, you get a sense of resignation that really we just can't even have a discussion about any of it.
Yeah, we have to.
Right-wing extremism, about hate groups, about easy access to guns, about mental health.
The Second Amendment was about a well-regulated militia. Because Washington didn't want a standing army.
Yeah, what part of well-regulated don't you understand?
29 minutes.
It's time to revisit it, I think.
Yeah. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
You saucy little harlot.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. This hour brought to you by GoToMeeting, the very best way to host an online meeting. My listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click on that there. Try a free button. Type in the promo code Stephanie. Oh, this just in.
Well, this is Tom Brokaw, formerly of NBC and Island News. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, Alexis Bledel, formerly of the Gilmore Girls.
Wait.
Never mind. Now she is available.
She is available.
Never mind.
We were going to have to reschedule her, and apparently she is.
As soon as she ends her protest of Chick Roy.
Listen, it's we got to call some audibles here.
Yes,
live,
I do.
Live radio and television, ladies and gentlemen. All right. So, Alexis Bledel, I said it right.
You did it correctly.
Loved her on Gilmore Girls.
Yep.
She is also an Obama surrogate out here in young Hollywood. Here we go. Just like me. Gen X, like me.
Uh-huh.
Alexis, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. Thank you so much for doing this for us.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Sorry about the little delay there.
Oh, that's okay.
I was saying my one degree of separation from you is my nephew used to date Lauren Graham a long time ago, but that's another story.
Oh. A story for another time.
That's a story for another time.
That's so cool.
Tell me about, it seems a no-brainer to me that young Hollywood obviously supporting Obama. You got to meet him not too long ago, right? He met with 25 young Hollywood stars.
I did. It was so exciting. There was so much amazing energy in that room. I think just being around his example and his, you know, leadership. He's just, he's an amazing communicator. He talked to us about the campaign and what, you know, we could do to help. And it was very, very inspiring and exciting.
I got to meet him, too. I was at the LGBT fundraiser, and I think I became, like, 15 when I saw him. I was, but I know what you mean. The electricity in that room and just the way, I mean, you swear like he's talking just to you, the way he communicates, right?
You really do. I mean, it seems like, you know, so many things are so personally important to him, and he is able to express that and sort of connect it to things that are personally important to you. And, you know, you just feel like we're all in this together. I mean, it that's really how I think he, you know, what's important to him. And you really feel that he cares about everyone in the room and that he wants the best for everyone. And it's incredible.
Well, it was quite a lineup there with Jessica Alba and Jared Leto, Zach Braff. There was it's interesting. It doesn't seem to me it matters what age you are. My friend Aisha Tyler and I, she got to meet him. And literally, we were like 14-year-olds. She was showing me all the pictures in her cell phone of her and the president.
Yes.
And I keep hearing there's this enthusiasm gap. And it seems like a lot of the people I know are just as enthusiastic, if not more, this time around
than they were in 2008.
Yeah. What do you think?
That's so great to hear. That's like, yeah, and I think you're right. I think that, you know, people who were really touched by his message of hope in 2008 are going to come out, you know, again this year to vote for him because, you know, the young people in this country got him in office, and they're going to be able to get him back in.
And
to keep him there.
Right. Yeah, and you were also at a young women's lunch. Again, my invitation lost to that because
there's a young aspect of that you're
lost in the early 80s.
But the president talked about women's issues and youth involvement, right? I mean, what did you? And I know you were just in New Mexico, right, campaigning. I mean, tell us about the conversations you're having out there with people.
Yeah, the women's lunch was in New Mexico. I went to the campaign office in Albuquerque, and the first thing off the plane, we went and had lunch with a group of young women, high school students and college students, and it was incredible because the largest high school group who is, getting together to register voters is actually in Albuquerque, from Albuquerque High School, and I met the leader of the group, and she is this really dynamic, focused young woman, and she's just incredible. She has a sort of network organized between different high schools in New Mexico and the girls that they went to high school with that are now at the University of New Mexico and at other universities. And she's, like, kept in touch with them, and they're doing work at their schools, too. And these are women who are not even old enough to vote. They're not even 18 yet, and they are getting, you know, setting up tables on the weekends and registering voters. And it's just so inspiring. I mean, to go there and to talk to them about women's issues in this election, which are so, I mean, it's such a crucial point in our history to really make our voices heard as women about, you know, what's important to us.
Yeah,
especially
talk to
about
us.
Our health and our finances. Sorry?
Talk to us about that. What would a Romney presidency, I don't mean to frighten you, mean for young women?
What's it is frightening. It would mean an enormous step backward in our progress, you know, having to do with our rights. Romney wants to defund Planned Parenthood, for instance. One in five women use Planned Parenthood for their, you know, reproductive health. You know, it's a affordable option for so many people that they would not have to get birth control, to get just all these preventable services that Obama has actually made more affordable that we can now get without a copay. And it's just, the two sides are so opposed. There's actually a great article in Women's Health magazine, the September issue, that breaks it all down and tells you what you can do. Because when you do, you know, read about what the Republicans want to do, I mean, it makes you want to get involved. And the best thing you can do is register to vote.
Yeah.
And really know that Obama is a defender of women. The first act, you know, he signed for women was the Lilly Ledbetter Fair Pay Act. He's been fighting for equal terms for women in the workplace. place, you know, so that the playing field is level. And, you know, there's still work to do. He's still trying to pass another act that would help us get closer to equal pay. And we have to be aware of these issues and educate ourselves and really speak up and vote.
Alexis, what motivated you in terms of the president? What motivated you originally just in general about the president?
Well, his message of hope in 2008, it made me sit up and really pay attention. I was never very involved in politics. I had, you know, several friends who were, and they always tried to get me involved, and I just never felt personally connected to anybody in, you know, office. And he turned my head, and I paid attention right away. And I think, you know, it was just a modern way forward that I saw in him. And I think, you know, he continues to provide the young people in this country that I think he was just talking right to my generation and generations younger than me, generations older than me. But I just felt like he was talking to me, as you said, you know, from the event.
Alexis, what, you know, you always hear these, you know, the professional pundits, quote unquote, on television say, you know, the youth vote is not going to turn out like they did in 2008. What's your sense from being in the trenches, you know, on the youth vote right now?
We have to. We have to all vote again this year because the Republicans have all kinds of funding from, you know, corporate sources that you know the grassroots campaign got Barack Obama elected the first time, and that's the way we have to do it again this year. I mean,
what's your sense if we will get the youth turnout to where it was in 2008? Do you think yes?
I feel completely inspired by what I saw in New Mexico. I mean, the young women I met are just so enthusiastic and believe, you know, in our president so much and want to keep moving forward. They don't want to take a step back. They want to really see, you know, his vision realized.
You just want to play a role on Mad Men. You don't want us to actually go back to the days of Mad Men, right? For women.
Exactly.
There you
yes.
go. All right. There she goes. Alexis Bledel, thanks so much. And thanks so much for staying in the trenches doing that good work for us. We'll talk.
Absolutely.
We'll talk
thanks
to you again.
So
we'll talk to you again real
all
soon.
Right.
Thanks, Alexis. There
Yay.
She goes. How adorable.
Yeah.
How
she
adorable.
Is. And she was in the Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants.
Mm. It's too bad about her looks.
Okay.
I know.
That is a shame. That is a shame. Okay.
Amazing eyes. Wow.
All right. But how old is she?
She's 30.
She's 30.
Oh,
but
okay,
she
fine.
Looks 15.
I was just going to say, she sounds a little young.
Well, okay. Gilmore Girls was a little while ago, so
yeah.
She, yeah.
Yeah. Max in Michigan, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Max.
How you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
I got two things. One, there's a difference between Romney paying taxes and having had to pay taxes.
Yeah.
And arguing about the wrong point. I only make $53,000 as a teacher,
uh-huh.
and I'm paying taxes every year. He's getting $250 million, and he's got to pay none.
Yeah,
so
well,
that's
we won't. Right.
Right.
Well, we won't know that unless he releases the taxes, will we? We did the story in the LA Times. You should. We should link to that.
Okay.
But I mean, it's just one sliver. But it's talking about what lengths they went to get out of paying property taxes on their mansion in La Jolla or
whatever.
And Jim, as you were saying earlier, I mean, one of the things that you, when you pay your taxes, you can fund, you know, public employees, which are not a bad thing. I don't mm-hmm. know how they suddenly became a bad thing, our cops and teachers and firemen.
Because they're yeah. largely unionized, and the Republicans hate that.
This just in. Government employment now at the lowest point since 1968.
Wow.
This is one of the big reasons why the unemployment rate is where it is, because as the president's pointed out, the public sector is not kept up with the private sector. As conservatives continue to try supposed booming growth in the size of American government, public sector lost under 9,000 jobs in July. The public sector has now cut more than 680,000 jobs since 2009, the worst three-year mm-hmm. period on record. Without those public sector cuts, the unemployment rate would be a full point lower. That growing American government, now smaller than it's been since 1968.
And those people who, if they were still employed, would be able to shop at places where they can hire
right.
more employees
right.
who in turn can buy things. And
they would be able to build
effect.
Roads to Mitt Romney's big-ass giant La Jolla mansion
that
has been underassessed.
In fact, that's the mansion that has the car elevator.
Yes.
Yes.
Wow.
Several car
okay.
elevators.
45.
But there wouldn't be any roads to drive the cars on
right.
if it weren't for public employees.
And I just posted
you
that.
You sound like you are the kind of person that hates America that wants Mitt Romney to pay his fair share of property taxes and not be able to afford his fourth car elevator.
That story is now posted on your Facebook page.
Thank you. 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
If you turn her on, she'll turn you on.
Oh, God.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Yeah, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 50 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Thelma in Chicago. Hey, Thelma, welcome.
Oh my God.
Hi.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good.
I wanted to say something about the Romney tax situation.
Yes.
I really believe that we're focusing on the wrong thing. One, he doesn't care if we know how much money he has.
Right.
He thinks he's entitled to it.
Right.
He doesn't even care about whether or not we find out that he didn't pay taxes for 10 years. Once again, he's arrogant. He feels that he hasn't broken any laws. So he can stand up to the plate and say that. But I absolutely believe that we need to start using his own words against him. There's a clip of him, and I believe it was running against John Kerry, when he brought up a blind trust and the character of a person who uses a blind trust.
Oh, dear.
And why in God's name, the Democrats don't use that in a commercial. I've been waiting to see it.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen it.
Well, that and him demanding Ted Kennedy release all his taxes.
Right.
That, but like I said, there are so many clips of this man out of his own mouth that can be used against him because he turns against so many, you know, turns in so many different directions. And as far as Harry Reid, if the Democrats do not get behind, because no one can lose something that screws something up like liberals or the Democratic Party.
Yep.
Harry Reid sat for 8 years with the Bush-Cheney and that evil cabal. For this man to have witnessed who has so much access to sensitive information and to never once use the word poppycock when he's not in office, this tells you just how bad it is.
And once again, the mainstream media drives me crazy because nobody calls Reince Priebus on saying Harry Reid hasn't released taxes. What? Yes, he has.
Don't start talking about that spawn of the – he looks like a descendant of Peter Lorre and some lizard or something.
Oh,
he's
dear. Oh, my. All right. Wow. Thelma had to get that out.
The spawn of Peter Lorre and some lizard.
Oh, boy. Rupert Murdoch calls up paid sick leave absurd. Boy, you're lucky you don't work for Rupert Murdoch, Jim, because Jim takes, you know, inconvenient
absurd
leave every now and again.
Yeah, I can't call in sick, I've been told.
You can't.
I know.
I don't care. You...
I think I tried that one time, and it turned out disastrous.
Yeah, oh, right?
Yeah.
God, as incompetent as you are, you are irreplaceable. What does that say about me? Over the weekend, Rupert Murdoch got trashed in the New York Times for its editorial supporting New York City paid sick leave, arguing small businesses shouldn't be required to let employees take a day off if they've got the flu or have to stay home and care for a sick child.
Come in sick and make everyone else sick.
Yeah, exactly.
And then they all die.
Sick leave helps to prevent the spread of disease.
Yes.
It's a public health issue.
Yeah, I don't care. If you have leprosy, you're showing up.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
All right.
Can
my
I just
skin
say,
falling off of me? Great.
Can I just say that slap fights between Elton John and Madonna get
this
really, really entertaining?
Is awesome. Oh, my God.
Elton John calls Madonna a fairground stripper. Elton lashed out at Madonna several times, asserting her career is over, her tour has been a disaster, and he says it couldn't happen to a bigger...
Oh,
that
wow.
That is spectacular, and that wasn't the C word.
Yeah. I just got a message from Travis.
Yes.
He says,
the bitch is back.
He says, wait, we don't get sick leave? I left Fox for this?
Sorry. Suck it up. All right. This may be the line between sad and funny. And, however, just someone that might possibly be a bigger loser than me. Bridget Nielsen?
Oh, yes.
Got drunk and passed out in
the
public park. I haven't done that yet.
No.
Yeah.
And she got a really cheap little bottle of vodka.
Oh, dear. She was swigging vodka and chain smoking, and then she appeared to fall asleep in a park here in L.A.
Yeah.
And then she appeared to vomit.
And yeah,
before using mouthwash, though, to freshen her breath before walking back to her house in Hollywood.
And then spitting out the mouthwash.
How bad can it be? She knows enough to use mouthwash. She was married to Sylvester Stallone, as you recalled, and she's currently with her fifth husband.
Oh, okay. She was also on Celebrity Rehab.
Yeah.
Oh, was she?
So that's
that
kind
didn't
of,
take.
No, that's kind of the tragic part of the story.
Yeah.
That she's been through rehab before. And
Oh, dear.
Try to make me go to rehab. And it didn't take.
I think Red Sonja was a cry for help myself. Well, but that's, okay. You know, gays aren't good parents, I'm told, but Levi Johnson is vying for full custody of his son with Bristol Palin using her reality show as ammunition. This is one of those I'm not really sure who's the better. She's, because you say, you know, the scene where the little, what, how old is he, three, Trip?
Yeah.
He drops the F-bomb. He says, I hate you, to his Aunt Willow before he smacks her on the arm. He then says, get away, you... according to the caption in the show, but it sounds like he uses the gay slur for a gay man.
Right.
Either way.
Not good.
Probably not good.
Not something a child should say.
Bristol and Willow laugh as the toddler swears, covering their mouths to try to hide their amusement. Yeah. I'm doing a terrible job disciplining Trips, as Bristol. Levi's now new pregnant girlfriend.
Oh, jeez.
Sonny wrote on her Facebook page defending Levi. Sonny and Levi are expecting a daughter in mid-September and have announced they will name her Breeze Beretta Johnson after the Italian gun Beretta. Okay, so you know what? Just pick one of them.
It's just best that they stay up in Alaska.
Like a bad parent eye exam. Better or worse now.
Stay away from the lower 48. Please, just stay up there.
All right, I promised you a happy ending on the John Travolta masseur story
yesterday.
Gawker. Gawker saying, it's been a while since we talked about John Travolta and his allegedly gay penis. But wouldn't you know it, the actor's legal team is condemning another masseur's claim as false.
Yet another lying masseur.
A while back, they lie more than sheep, Jim. A while back, a Royal Caribbean cruise masseur claimed Travolta exposed himself during a routine neck massage.
Hmm.
Well, maybe he wanted, more... Sometimes there's pressure points.
No, the neck is nowhere near the schwanz.
What's that called, Jim? You know what I'm talking about. Where it's different points. That's where you get
pressure points.
Reflexology. Maybe. The neck bone is connected to
the other
bone.
It's not.
No?
No.
And then offered,
and that's not even a bone.
And then
you haven't seen one in a while. It's not a bone.
Really?
Yeah.
And then offered $12,000 for his silence. Well, now that's a tip.
Okay. So to speak.
As it were.
And we haven't gotten to this one, Jim. But hey, Kim Jong Un, his wife is hot. I finally saw a picture of her.
She is hot. Yeah.
She's hot. Twitter says yes. Hot or not? Hot.
Hot.
Kim, right? Yeah. Gawker says, just goes to show there's hope after all for the chubby nerds with a nuclear arsenal and absolute power in their country. Good luck, fellas. Don't give up. Stop crying. All right. Tomorrow. Oh, we have no Hal Sparks tomorrow.
No Hal Sparks tomorrow, but we're working on a great lineup of guests.
Okay. Wow, that was a little amorphous, wasn't it? Okay. It's a little covering your ass. All right, go to sexyliberal.com. Tickets going fast for the just-announced New York City show, the big one, October 27th. Also, a few tickets left for Seattle in September. And also Columbus in August. A very, very few tickets there.
Right.
So get it. Go, get it. I would like to thank executive producer, engineer boy Toy, who doesn't listen to me. Right?
What? Huh? What? What'd you say?
Chris LaVoy. Voice DD Jim Ward, T-Bone on phones and drums, Courtney, Jackie, the whole gang over at Current. We'll see you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller
Show. And Kelby,
too.
You keep forgetting Kelby.
Shelby, as I call him.
Yeah, all right.
Bye-bye.